Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Why hasn't Barack Obama announced his running mate yet?
Apparently Barack Obama learned a lot from Alfred Hitchcock. It's really the anticipation that builds the drama.
Political professor Jack Pitney at Claremont College. Obama is expected to send out a text message to his supporters informing them of his choice, and the two will appear tomorrow at a rally in Springfield, Illinois. Politico's Ben Smith.
You think they'd want to get it in before tonight's evening news, but alternately they could try to just, you know, pop the person upstage on Obama with Obama in Springfield tomorrow and introduce him that way. I mean, that would certainly be dramatic.
Republican John McCain's reportedly considering Mitt Romney or Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty as his running mate. Russian tanks pulling out of the former Soviet Republic of Georgia today. The White House says, though, Moscow hasn't met the deadline to fully withdraw. In Iraq, a preliminary deal to pull out American troops. Correspondent Mark Noller is in Crawford, Texas with the president.
By a secure video hookup from his ranch, President Bush conferred with Iraq's prime minister, seeking to finalize an agreement that tentatively calls for U.S. troops to be out by 2011. But spokesman Gordon Jandro says negotiations continue.
It's not done until it's done. And the discussions are really ongoing.
And no matter what is agreed to now, it could all change on January 20th when a new U.S. president takes office and can seek to alter the deal.
So much rain from Tropical Storm Fay.
We've never seen water like that here.
As a resident of Melbourne, Florida, Governor Christie's warning more rain could come this weekend before the storm finally moves away from the Sunshine State. There is a possibility it could move into the Gulf and strengthen again. Gas coupons, deep discounts, and now another offer from a car maker to get you into the showroom.
Volkswagen's taking advantage of the family-friendly image of minivans by offering $1,500 to your child's college fund if you make a down payment on their Rutan minivan. That's part of the You Promise program, where you get college money by purchasing from certain companies. The Rutan, actually made by Chrysler for Volkswagen, hits dealerships next month in a market where sales of all large vehicles are down and minivans are particularly weak. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Oil prices dropped a $6 a barrel today. That's the biggest one-day tumble in almost 4 years. It's now at $114 a barrel.
This is what we call extreme volatility.
That's energy analyst Jim Ritterbush. He thinks we could see more price declines next week and more volatility in the markets. On Wall Street today, investors cheered the news. The Dow Jones Industrials finished up 197 points at 11,628. The NASDAQ Composite Index finished higher as well by 34 points. It finished the week at 2,414. This is CBS News.
Been waiting for the best time to buy a Sleep Number bed? The wait is over. Right now, during your Select Comfort Store's biggest sale of the year, you'll save on the entire line of Sleep Number beds. Get instant cash savings or interest-free financing for a full 3 years on approved credit. Now's your chance to enjoy the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed and get the best deal of the year. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bet that counts.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 1996, the U.S. women's gymnastics team delighted the home crowd with athletic feats that turned up gold. You, on the other hand, can barely get out of bed after managing to grind through 5 pull-ups at the gym. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Pilots confused, they take off from the wrong runway, and dozens of people are killed. A study is done and recommendations made. But as CBS News correspondent Sam Litzinger reports, nothing's been changed, and that's prompted criticism from one government agency to another.
The National Transportation Safety Board says the recommendations involve checks to make sure planes are on the correct runway before takeoff. They were made after a 2006 crash in Kentucky that killed 49 people. The NTSB says the Federal Aviation Administration isn't moving fast enough on the recommendations. A Calm Air plane crashed 2 years ago in Lexington after taking off from the wrong runway.
The Food Bank of Delaware is offering cash-strapped consumers a few bargains. They're close to their expiration date and the cans dented, but they're still deeply discounted.
We have shampoos, we have pet care products, we have diapers, we have canned goods like peaches. Sometimes we'll have baby formula in.
Patricia Beebe says the items come from national retailers and wholesalers. It's all safe. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Choosing the right new mattress was a big deal to my husband because he's never made a mistake.
That's correct.
Wallpapering over all the outlets wasn't a mistake.
Huge energy saver.
Cutting down a tree and landing it on the garage.
Is the new garage not better?
So, with his mistake-free record on the line, he thought we should go with the sure thing, the Sleep Number bed.
We can adjust our sides independently on a Sleep Number bed, so we're both sure to be happy.
And this time, he really was right.
Again.
Over 5 million people have discovered you can't go wrong with the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed.
My streak's unbroken.
Amazing.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Delighted you can join us today for a fresh edition of the program. I'm originating from Seattle today in the studios of our affiliate, AM 1090 KPTK. Great to be here. I want to start the show with a shout-out to Nick Tannen, who's back there at Master Control at our secret studio in the Bay Area today. And Nick is a quick learner. He's been on the job with us for about 2 weeks, and we threw him into the snake pit with all of the equipment and a complicated remote broadcast here, and he is still swimming. So thank you, Nick. Coming up later this hour, journalist Ron Suskind will join us. His new book I just finished this morning is called The Way of the World. And it is quite a story. Confirms that Bush and Cheney knew damn well before we invaded Iraq that there were no WMD. We'll talk about the attempt to forge documents and a lot of other issues. Suskind's book has a lot about Pakistan and Benazir Bhutto, which has not surfaced in the interviews that I've seen to date in corporate media. But to kick us off today, well, first I wanted to mention that we have been launching the show every day with a report from the Free Gaza Flotilla, which is working its way from Crete to Cyprus, and then in the next few days will sail across the Mediterranean to the Gaza Strip. These are peaceful activists who are nonviolently challenging the Israeli blockade of Gaza, and it will come to a head in the next week or so. And unfortunately, due to our live coverage of the Democratic National Convention, we won't be able to bring you updates as they approach Gaza. But I do want you to log on to their website at freegaza.org. That's freegaza.org. And you can follow their progress and our thoughts. And if you're a prayerful person, prayers are with them on this important peaceful mission. Robert Perry joins me to start the show today. He's a journalist himself who's been reporting for a long time, AP Newsweek, Frontline, and now publishes at consortiumnews.com. His most recent book is Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob, how are you today?
Hello?
Hi, Bob. I can hear you now. There you are. Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, fine. Yes.
Well, I'm coming to you all the way from the northwest United States, and it's always a risk to do these remote broadcasts, and it's always nice when somebody says, yes, I can hear you. So I wanted to talk first about your comments about Ron Suskind's book and some of the critical reporting that he has done, interviewing some key CIA officials and former who have really confirmed what we have suspected for so long, that Bush and Cheney did know from Habush, Saddam's intelligence director, who told them flatly there were no WMD, no nuclear program, and a guy named Sabri, who was in the foreign ministry in Iraq. These were sources who were identified well before we launched the invasion, yet Bush and Cheney did not want to hear this intelligence. They simply, it didn't square with what they wanted to believe, and so they dismissed it.
Well, it's been clear for some time, I think, that the Bush administration, and even before it was the Bush administration back in the 90s, when the neoconservatives had decided that they needed to take out Saddam Hussein's government, they were determined to do that. There probably were a variety of reasons for them wanting to do it, but they really didn't care much about what the facts were. They were just going to do what they wanted. So as they decided to settle on WMD as the way to scare the American people into supporting this, they didn't want anything to get in their way. Clearly, they were willing to ignore facts, take facts that worked to their advantage or semi-facts or falsehoods and ignore serious information that went the other way. And that's what Ron Suskind has further established. It shouldn't even be any serious question at this point. I also want to say that Ron Suskind is under a lot of attack now, has been one of the most important reporters in bringing together so much of this information about what's happened this this decade. He was the one who got Paul O'Neill to open up, the Treasury Secretary, who was forced out of the Bush administration because he resisted some of these deceptions. And that was a very important book that Suskind did, describing how at the first NSC meeting that the Bush administration had, the invasion of Iraq or attacking Iraq was on the table. And then in Suskind's book, The 1% Doctrine, he not only describes the madness that had infected the policy, this idea that any even a 1% risk must be treated as 100% certainty, which no country can follow without having the kinds of disasters we've seen, but there were other elements that I've used a lot from Suskind's book. For instance, the in 2004, on the weekend before the election in 2004. Osama bin Laden appears for the first time in a year, and he essentially attacks George Bush, and that was spun by the right to say that he was endorsing John Kerry. And we saw a 3 or 4% jump in Bush's numbers that weekend, apparently in reaction to the bin Laden tape. But internally, and this is what Suskind reported, internally the CIA had concluded that bin Laden was doing this because he wanted Bush to win. He knew that by attacking Bush, he would help Bush, and that he wanted Bush's policies, especially in Iraq, to continue. And so he was actually throwing his weight behind Bush's reelection. It may sound counterintuitive, but it's sort of the old Brer Rabbit kind of argument that you say you want to be tossed into the briar patch. But he understood, bin Laden did, that by maintaining Bush's policies, one, there'd be this continued alienation between the U.S. and the Muslim world. And two, Bush would remain preoccupied with Iraq and allow the al-Qaeda forces to reorganize inside Pakistan, to rebuild, help the Taliban rebuild, to now be in a position to both destabilize Afghanistan and Pakistan, which is a much more important thing for them than what's happening in Iraq.
And the other dream that we fulfilled for Osama bin Laden was that we put as many as 160,000 American troops on Islamic soil. And that is one of the greatest recruiting tools that they use. They see us as this big-footed, ugly occupier that wants the oil. And there's enough of that that's true that it's a major recruiting gambit for the al-Qaeda types.
Right. And the fact that Sufkan was able to get CIA people to describe that internal meeting on that Friday before the election, where they sat down and they said they concluded that bin Laden was essentially endorsing Bush, and they looked at each other and they said, what does this tell us about our policy? But that did not come out, of course, until after the election. So the many Americans went to the polls, I guess, in 2004 thinking they were, you know, sticking it in bin Laden's eye by voting for George W. Bush, but in effect what they were doing was exactly what bin Laden wanted.
Robert Perry with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can read his work and others who publish at consortiumnews.com. And our mutual colleague Jason Leopold has a post at Consortium News about the response of John Conyers, the House Judiciary Chairman. And, Bob, what do you see now that we're really heading into the high contest period of the election? And, of course, Congress will only be meeting for a few weeks between now and November. Is Conyers serious about investigating these issues? And if so, what could be the ultimate outcome?
Well, I'm not sure he's that serious. There is this problem with the Democrats, and that they tend to assume, in their phrase, that the public, quote, gets it. That you don't really have to explain things. You don't have to prove them. You don't have to do the serious investigations and put out the reports. That somehow the American people will look at all this and kind of, quote, get it. And I've always, as a journalist, I've always thought that was a really stupid way of approaching things. Because, well, it's true. Some Americans, you know, are very informed and they follow this stuff and they do get it. But to use that as an excuse not to do the investigations, not to do the report, not to amass an overwhelming body of evidence to show what's going on and to convince a lot of Americans who may not, quote, get it, is really a dereliction of duty on the part of the Democrats. And we've seen this now repeatedly. In my experience, it goes back to the 1980s when there was sort of that attitude around Iran-Contra that, oh, we don't really have to push this very far. The American people, quote, get it. And we're seeing this again, that here in a case where there is a dispute about Susskind's reporting here, regarding whether this forged letter was something that the CIA ordered or whether it was something that it just sort of handled. And I think that's a valid question, the more important point is, did the Bush administration concoct a letter which was then discovered inside Iraq, which confirmed many of the allegations, the key allegations of an al-Qaeda Iraq connection, of getting yellow cake from Niger.
Well, yeah, they were trying to wrap all this up into one neat little sausage, Bob, only they didn't do enough research to find out that their principal claim that Mohammed Atta had been trained in Iraq in the summer of 2001 could not have been true. The FBI's own records show that he could not have been in Iraq at the time that this concocted letter, which also was trying to tie together Abu Nidal and the Nigerian yellow cake, they were going for a trifecta here, and it did work for a while.
Right, but the key point is not whether the CIA specifically created this letter, but whether someone in the Bush administration created the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the more important point, that we've gotten into this fight about whether the CIA did it directly or whether it was done by someone else in the administration and they just kind of planted it. You know, so I think that we're sort of missing the larger issue, and I think that's something that if the Democrats, if Conyers and the Democrats were serious, they could at least figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, not whether every precise detail of Ron Suskind's allegation is correct, but is the bigger picture correct? That's the key issue.
Mm-hmm.
And was this another effort to mislead the American people?
Ron Suskind will join us later this hour. We're talking with Robert Perry. You can read his work at consortiumnews.com. We'll take a break and return. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can dial in right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Originating from Seattle today, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Oh. Think for yourself.
Oh, man. That's the track.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Fryer Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FryerTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Fryer Tucks, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tux. Great food, great fun.
Okay.
Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade, they give you fever. When you kiss them, fever, if you live, you learn. Fever, till you sizzle. Oh, what a lovely way to burn.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She had fire in her soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the...
All right, Nick, you can say it right there. Thank you. Nick Tanham's on the board back at Master Control, and he's fighting through fire. The computer just froze on him, so hang in there, Nick. We are live from Seattle today, the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm here on Friday. I gave a talk to a group of electrical workers, members of the IBEW, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And Robert Perry, to your earlier point about people getting it, I was really pleased. I was talking to a room of about 300 people, and we ticked off a bunch of different political issues. And, you know, there is a high awareness, for example, that the FISA law has rolled back our Fourth Amendment rights, and that workers in particular in other countries have been the first to bear the brunt of these kinds of police state activities. At the same time, I am concerned, and there was concern in the room as well, that the Democratic leadership has not used the power it has right now to block the most extreme power grabs of the Bush administration. And we're hoping that if we get bigger majorities in the House and a 60-vote margin in the Senate, that things might really change. But we have to temper that with the reality that those who are in power haven't used what's available to them to put the brakes on some of these most recent power grabs. And now the Bush administration, through Attorney General Mukasey, is asking for even more latitude for the FBI to use no-knock kind of warrantless investigations.
Right. I think there's some good to be said about what's happened over the past several years. There's been an effort by a lot of people like yourself, like me, like a bunch of people on the internet, some honest journalists, people like Ron Suskind, to get the truth out as best one can. But still, there is this tremendous disparity where the right has this enormous infrastructure on media that is built over the last quarter century or so. They can put issues into play. They can spin things as they wish. It's very hard to get the truth out or get honest, objective news to the American people. The mainstream press is increasingly intimidated and willing to go along in most cases. There obviously have been honorable exceptions to that. So you have this real problem, and the Democrats have contributed to it because they haven't been willing to do their part. And their part includes tough, serious investigations with reports, not just sort of a hearing here and there that touches on something, but really pulling it together and adding to that, to the weight of information. The Democrats have generally accepted the idea that, oh, it's up for others to do it, and it's hard for everyone to do it. But the fact is, we have had some success. We should acknowledge that with all the work that's been done to try to explain this to people. But in a case like Mukasey, I was doing stories, and some others were, about that Mukasey was almost as bad as Gonzalez, if not as bad as Gonzalez, before he was confirmed. And people like Senator Schumer and Senator Feinstein basically carried water for Mukasey, even despite his record of having supported some of these abuses of power early on in the war on terror. So it still requires having a lot more done, and the Democrats could play a much bigger role. And frankly, there ought to be a real effort to support and build media institutions that can get this information out quickly and effectively and accurately.
Yeah. And I was hoping that this coming week in Denver, I would have a chance to talk to Senator Feinstein. She's chair of the California delegation. But she broke her ankle a couple of days ago and will not be at the convention. So I'll try to find Chuck Schumer and see if I can get his take on just how pleased he might be about his support for Judge Mukasey as Attorney General. Bob, any quick predictions? We're still waiting here on Friday afternoon for the vice presidential announcement from the Obama campaign, and I'm in a soundproof booth, a cone of silence. Nothing's happened yet, has it?
Not that I know. I've been on the phone with you for half an hour, so if it has, I don't know about it. But when I left to come here to talk to you, they had not yet made their announcement.
All right. Well, we'll stand by for that. Bob, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Peter.
Robert Perry, visit consortiumnews.com, and you can find out the latest from his online publication. We'll take a break and return for more. Ron Suskind joins me next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Intel Corporation has now demonstrated how they can keep a 60-watt light bulb glowing from an energy source that's 3 feet away. Stand by for wireless charging. Here's CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggot.
Wireless charging may be the last bastion of our wireless world. We already have cordless phones and cell phones and wireless networks, but you still have to plug them into a power outlet and run a cable in order to charge them.
Now, look, Mom, no wires. The story of wireless power transmission after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
Intel isn't introducing a product just yet, and they're not saying you'll be able to power up your electric car without ever having to plug it in somewhere. But it may not be long before you can charge up your laptop or cell phone without connecting them to anything.
The technology used is what's called resonant induction. It's like a magnetic coil that can transmit energy a short distance through the air, and the basic technology has been around for a while. Intel is trying to make it more popular and, of course, more affordable.
Larry, what is resonant induction anyway?
It's the same principle of a singer shattering a glass with her voice. There are waves that resonate through the air, and when the waves reach a receiver, they can transfer power to that receiver.
In the 60-watt light bulb demonstration, the power was transmitted only a few feet, and with some loss of power in the process, but only 25%. That's more efficient than the power pack on your laptop is now. Getting rid of the clutter of wires will be a welcome relief for many, and handy, says Larry Maggot, is your electric toothbrush.
Electric toothbrushes use a type of induction to get the power from the charging station to the brush, and they do this without exposing metal connectors. But with Intel's technology, the device won't have to be sitting on top of the charger. It can be a few feet away.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from Seattle today in the studios of AM 1090 KPTK. I want to thank Paul Fredericks and the staff here for giving me a warm welcome and helping us get up set up for this remote broadcast today. And in just a moment, Ron Suskind will join us. His powerful new book is called The Way of the World, a story of truth and hope in an age of extremism. Nick, go ahead and fade the music if you have an extra hand there. As I mentioned, we're in Seattle, where I gave a talk here on Friday to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and I got a lot of great input from them for the convention coverage that we'll be bringing you in the coming week. We'll be in Denver Monday through Thursday, and you can catch our live coverage from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And if it's not available to you on the station that you're currently listening to, which means you probably hear some of our weekend programming, then you can log on directly to the website of our San Francisco affiliate, and that is green960.com. Green960.com. There will be a special second stream there of our live coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Denver. So I hope that you will spread the word, tell as many of your friends as possible that they can catch our special coverage from Denver starting on Monday. And again, that website with the second stream is green960.com. And of course, it'll be on all of our regular Monday through Friday affiliates and available as a podcast too. And the podcasts are there right after the show is over, and that's available via peterbcollins.com. That's www.peterbcollins.com. And my thanks to all the folks who have stepped up to help us with the costs of covering the convention. Many people have been very generous, and I appreciate that. And you can get that information at the website, peterbcollins.com. And there's a button there that says you can help. Ron Suskind is the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and author of this new book, The Way of the World, a story of truth and hope in an age of extremism. Ron, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to be here.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And first, I want to tell you just what an amazing job you did, not only as a reporter, because you opened up a lot of new information with solid proof for Americans who want to know how we wound up in this war and occupation in Iraq. But you also write in a beautiful way, and you weave together five or six different real people and their stories, and they dovetail in a way that makes an incredible story. And I just want to give you real praise for that.
Wow, that's Peter. Thanks. Thanks for that. You know, it's a tricky moment you're in because, you know, my Pulitzer's in feature writing. I've always fancied myself as a guy who at least was going to try to write with as big a W, as they say, as I can. And but, you know, at the same time, I'm also an investigative reporter and have been for, you know, a good 20 years. And so it gets tricky because sometimes you've got news that's so explosive it can eclipse and sort of almost narrow people's view of what's in a book, especially especially when there's a part of it that the White House realizes could get them into legal hot water, which is, of course, the last thing the president wants to do at the end of his term. And so they're focusing on that, and it's creating these huge clouds of dust and heat and light. And people, but now are reading the book, and they're saying kind of what you're saying now. My goodness, it's really, it's actually not about these harrowing, hair on fire, news cycle driving exposures. It's disclosures. It's about how America lost its moral authority, and in a way, how it gets it back. And you find that in the shoes of those characters you talk about.
Yeah. Well, and I think by now many people have read the excerpts or the news coverage, maybe even seen some of your interviews on network television. And so by way of telling the stories about the attempted forgery and the clear knowledge that the Bush administration had that there were no WMD in Iraq and there was no connection between Saddam and 9/11, let me ask you to, almost in the form of the playing cards that Bush had with the different characters on them, if I could ask you to introduce us to five people, and I'll tick them off and then we'll take them one by one.
I love it. Go.
Rob Richer, the Iraqi named Sabri, the Iraqi intelligence chief Habush, Joseph Whipple, and Michael Shipster. These are people who you profiled in the book and brought new information to me. And, Ron, I'm a guy who's been in pretty deep into this stuff. So let's start with Rob Richer, a CIA official who's now a vice president of Blackwater.
Yeah, and actually he's even moved beyond that now. He's sort of a global character who spends most of his time as the key advisor to King Abdullah of Jordan. He's a real gadabout. You know, Rich is a complex guy. He has been in the senior-most jobs through stay. He was the deputy head of all operations, which is a clandestine service, a big, big job. Also, he's the head of the Near East Division, which really covers the Mideast. And he also was a guy who actually popped up in my last book, The 1% Doctrine. I've known him for years. He's been in all the key rooms, and he has advised the president, the vice president, Condi Rice, on a regular basis. So Richer is a character of consequence in this book. And finally, he stepped up into daylight after many discussions, hour after hour we had, about trusting truth, which is what he decided to do in his participation in this project. And let's sort of set where the scenes are. I mean, let's start in, we can get a bunch of the characters all together if we start in the summer of 2002. Because at that point, this character Curveball, that's mm-hmm. of course the guy who tells us about all those biological weapons labs and whatnot, he's the defector, Iraqi defector who ends up in Germany. He ends up being really the core of Colin Powell's case. He's a fabricator. All of it is false. But what's interesting is that we actually learned that in the U.S. government in the summer of 2002. This is not really widely known. But at that point, there were various people briefing senior officials, George Tenet among them, and I'm sure it passed up through the White House, that this guy Curveball is somebody who, you know, it doesn't smell quite right, and we certainly should never, ever use him as a key source unless someone from CIA with real expertise could sit across the table from him. That ended up being the problem, because immediately inside of the government, people realized that Curveball was going to be the key for the case for war. Now, interestingly, the Defense Intelligence Agency, called DIA, which is like CIA but inside of the Pentagon, they kind of took ownership of Curveball as quickly as they could, realizing that he is both valuable but potentially problematic. And so what happens is a drama unfolds, and the drama includes this guy, Joe Whipple. And Whipple runs Germany for the CIA. He is the station chief for the CIA in Germany, which is, you know, the biggest, most powerful country in Europe. Big, big job. He's got a bit of a troubled history. He gets into this job, and things get a little crazy. Whipple starts popping up in cities without sort of proper clearance or advance warning. You know, the guys in Vienna are calling, saying, "What's Whipple doing here? He didn't tell us he'd be in town." And, mm-hmm. and all through Europe, and it becomes clear inside of CIA that Whipple may have become kind of a rogue agent, if you will. Now, of course, Whipple's right in the key job when it comes to this guy Curveball. And so what happens is an informant formal inquiries started inside the CIA, and Whipple was popping up on what we call electronic intelligence or signal intelligence that we do on German intelligence officials. They're talking about Whipple and what Whipple's saying to them. Not only things that are, you know, let's just say extremely negative about George Tenet and other people who run CIA, but also he's recommending that they never give us access to Curveball.
Now, and this Mr. Whipple is not a guy who tells you not to squeeze the Charmin. He's a very influential agent, and the way you describe him, he seems to have kind of, and Rob Richer likewise, seems to have carved out his own niche, and his superiors are powerless to rein him in or discipline him, and often it appears that a relationship with the vice president's office is what can trump the hierarchy of the CIA.
Well, some people notice that Whipple actually is serving a very important function by recommending to the Germans that, look, this curveball is going to be pulled into America's march to war, which is a terrible place to be. He'll pull Germany in with them, and you guys are going to chewed up in the meat grinder. It'll ruin German-American relations. Don't let us touch Curveball. That's his position. Now, the CIA, at least at this point, claims it wants to talk to Curveball, but the Germans are saying no. Because, well, after all, this fellow Whipple, who some folks inside of CIA are wondering if he's gone over into, let's just say, too friendly relationship with the Germans, and maybe one of these women he's running around with, allegedly, are, you know, German agents. Whipple, though, he ends up being someone that the White House and others in the defense establishment view as someone of value. Because at the day's end, we never get to Curveball. And after the Iraq invasion, that ends up being something that, frankly, people are, let's just say, feeling pretty thankful about.
And Ron,
and
let me, Ron.
Whipple gets fired because inside of CIA, they view him as a rogue agent who may have been turned, and he gets rehired again to be head of congressional liaison, which is a plum job. Whipple, I talked to, himself says, I was terrible at the job. You know, he says, I'm no good at any of that, but someone up there likes me. And then he gets another kid. He gets fired from that job. And then he gets another job running a one-man kind of institute at Boston University. You know.
And Ron Susskind, you wrote, some old hands still at the agency speculate that Whipple, who was in regular touch with DIA officials at the time he was recommended to the Germans that they deny CIA access to Curveball, was secretly acting in 2002 at the behest of the vice president's office.
That's right. That's right. And so there you've got how complicated this was, you know, and what it shows as we get to our next character, Sabri, Najib Sabri, who's the foreign minister who comes around this time through the fall, is that the case for war was a hollow, rickety structure by the time we start 2003 when our famous man, Habush, the Iraq intelligence chief, arrives. Just a quick thing on Sabri. Sabri is the Iraq foreign minister. He has various complex relationships with Western intelligence officials. And he tries to essentially get a message to us that there are no WMD. And he does it through an intermediary. And it's a bit complicated with the intermediary being paid off. But what's important here is that this report that Iraq has no WMDs gets twisted and turned, and essentially the top gets rewritten by senior officials at CIA to essentially say 180 degrees, you know, opposite of what it really says. It says there is a WMD program rather than there's not. Then it gets passed to our best friends, the British. So the British are misled here. Again, all of this is not a mistake. There's no oops or we didn't know. Mind you, there's also another character in the book, which I think real alert readers are picking up, a guy named Alan Foley.
Yeah.
He's the guy at CIA who oversees WMD analysis for CIA. He's the guy who gets the facts with those famous 16 words of Bush. He, for the first time, says in a long interview we had that there was pressure on CIA analysts. It came from both the White House and, oddly and interestingly, from Congress. Get all the qualifiers out. Give us a black and white. And he also talks about how the 16 words ended up in the speech. Again, the first time that's happened, we've got people, the committees and investigations have not been able to dig this up. It's there for people to read in long, full quotes. Well, let's get forward to another character.
Ron, let me stop you there. We're late for a break here. We'll pick up and talk about Michael Shipster as we continue. Ron Susskind is with us. His new book, The Way of the World, it's a powerful book and a great read. I recommend it to you. If you have a question or comment, jump on the line now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you and learn how to safeguard your shrinking dollars with the Capital Gold Group and the Gold Show with Jonathan Rose by tuning in Monday through Thursday nights at 8 or call us at 1-800-510-9594. The Gold Show is right here on AM 540 KRXA Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
you know, maybe they did, and maybe I forgot, but I didn't see another schedule. That's fine.
Well, whatever it is, I really...
Right in the nose. He just called in, and people called his cell, and I'm doing round-the-clock interviews, and and it's I'm delighted to talk to you guys. This is great, Peter. You know,
well,
you know this area, which is kind of nice. Not everybody knows it. Oh, so well, if you know.
Well, in just a moment, I want to dive into the part of your book that's gotten insufficient attention, and that is your detailed coverage of the last months of Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah, that's big stuff. It moved the bar in Pakistan right up to Musharraf's impeachment. It was a key thing in those last few days because he had to even talk to the U.S. ambassador about some of the stuff in the book.
Let's come back to that.
Yes, it's true, and what are you going to do?
Let's come back to that in a moment, but I wanted to complete the deck here with Michael Shipster, who you describe in the book, and he played a very interesting role, key information that was, again, rejected by the Bush administration.
Well, here we are. Now, we went through Sabri, who we twisted up and sent the foreign minister. We sent his stuff to the British and basically said it's the opposite of what it was. And mind you, it's clear the curveball is a problem, and throughout the government, probably fraudulent already by the fall of 2002. Then late 2002, Rob Richer, he's kind of scratching his head, and he's like, you know, we got a lot of assumption and supposition, but we don't have any real hard evidence on this WMD. And he sits down with Michael Shipster, who's an amazing character. He essentially runs the Mideast for British intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He and Richer know each other, and they kind of... sit around London and they say, what can we do here? We intelligence men looking for real evidence. Well, Shipster says, I actually know someone. We have a bit of a back-channel relationship with this guy, Tahir Jalil Habush, the current Iraqi intelligence chief.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Richard says, well, that is provocative. And they come up with a plan. The plan, of course, it gets briefed right up through Downing Street in the White House immediately, a secret back channel will get opened to Habush. Richer, who, of course, is very close to the King of Jordan. He helped create the King of Jordan, essentially.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He sets it up in Amman, Jordan. That's where they meet. And Michael Shipster, who's a real James Bond character over there in the UK, starts to meet with Habush in early January of 2003. Now, mind you, the case for war at this point is really not very much. Frankly, it's a bit of whipped cream and not much more. Habush sits down with Shipster and he says definitively, there are no WMD. Trust me, I am the intelligence chief. You know, in that role, he himself oversees the biological program.
Mm-hmm.
They go through it letter and verse. Now, also he says to Shipster, Shipster begins reporting this up to the chain. A final report's delivered in early February, but in January, of course, this is being leaked out, if you will, up in through the White House. He also tells, Habush tells Shipster about the mind of Saddam Hussein. He says, look, he doesn't believe you guys are serious. Why would you want Iraq? He says, you know, the real threat is Islamic radicalism. We don't have that in Iraq. That's up in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And beyond that, it's clear Saddam's really worried about the Iranians and their nascent nuclear program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he doesn't want anyone to know, especially Iran or others in the region, that he, Saddam, is a toothless tiger, that he's gotten a WMD. That explains his odd behavior, the shell game that was going on in that last year.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, all this stuff comes out later, and all of it the White House expresses surprise about. All this, of course, is true. No WMD in the mind of Saddam. They were briefed on it 3 months before the war. When the president hears about much of what's being briefed from the Iraq intelligence chief, he first says, well, why doesn't he give us something to help us make our case? Ultimately, it ends up being a flat denial, if you will, of the
mm-hmm.
case. And look, there is debate, which I led in the book, throughout the upper reaches of the U.S. government. Should we believe Habush? It's a denial of deception. Is he the real McCoy?
Mm-hmm.
What is indisputable?
Yeah.
Is that the president could have stood up around the time he offers 16 words in that State of the Union address, 2003, that we have recently learned that Saddam is out buying these uranium from Niger. Instead,
mm-hmm.
he was briefed such that he should have said, We have recently learned there may be no WMD in Iraq. At that point, we would have had a real discussion as to whether the Iraq war was actually in the interest of the United States. Because, frankly, if you start down that path, I think most Americans would have said, no, oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. Isn't the lesson of 9/11 that the problem is Islamic radicalism growing across borders and maybe armed with destructive weapons? Isn't that the problem?
And Ron,
9/11 alerted us to, rather than this old business, really, of cleaning up a last decade's issue with a rogue dictator like many bad men in the world.
Ron, let me jump in. There's much more in the book, and I want people to read it, but I want you to take a minute here to talk about your coverage of Benazir Bhutto, and in particular, how she talked about how democracy was actually something she was starting to believe in just before she was assassinated.
Well, Bhutto is another example of the United States embracing sweeping rhetoric and low and ugly practices. You know, and this is exactly the big theme of the book, exactly why our moral authority has bled away in these years. And that is the most precious thing to the United States. That's the source of real power in the world. And the reason we've lost it, we've lost that status, is because we engage in practices like we do with Bhutto. We essentially decide in the summer of 2007 that Bhutto's going to go back to Pakistan in a fairly cynical deal that she'll bring an infusion of democratic ideals to shore up a dictator, Musharraf, who essentially still is our guy.
Yeah, and Ron, I've got to stop there. Ron, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today, and maybe we can talk again because there's much more in the book, The Way of the World. We've been talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Ron Susskind here on The Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you, Ron. It's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Who is the Democratic VP nominee?
That's a question that only one person can answer, and that's Barack Obama.
The wrath of Faye still being felt in Florida.
This is still a very dangerous storm.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Who is it? Who is Barack Obama's pick to be his vice presidential running mate? He says he knows, but he's not telling, not yet, so the suspense builds.
Apparently, Barack Obama learned a lot from Alfred Hitchcock. It's really the anticipation that builds the drama.
Jack Pitney, professor of politics, Claremont McKenna College, CBS News chief correspondent Bob Schieffer.
Earlier in the week, there may have been a real debate within the Obama campaign. I keep hearing that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama wanted someone they'd be very comfortable with. A lot of the top advisors were saying you've got to add heft to the ticket.
About the timing of the announcement, CBS News director of political coverage, Steve Shigaris.
Do they want the event itself to be the news, or do they want the announcement to be the news? And that's the question that remains to be answered.
Emerging as a last-minute dark horse name added to a lot of speculators' shortlists, Texas Congressman Chet Edwards.
It would be a privilege to serve with Senator Obama.
Virtually the same words uttered by Hillary Clinton. Other names being mentioned by a lot of analysts, Senators Evan Bayh and Joe Biden. The choice will be made known to all at once with text messages sent to cell phones.
I'm expecting it any moment now, so I keep my phone close to me.
On the GOP side, the name that's surfacing in more reports than any other, the man John McCain beat in the Republican primaries, Mitt Romney, which makes sense according to University of Virginia political science professor Larry Sabato.
Romney has family ties through his
father's governorship in Michigan. And Michigan is one of the swing states. Normally it votes Democratic. The early polls show it very close. If McCain can steal Michigan, then Obama will have a much more difficult time winning.
Now this.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed, too.
It is the same bed.
But we can adjust our side to make it feel like our own.
I wish my living room felt like my own.
See, that's funny. I know the deer head bothers you. But whose exercise bike is in my workshop?
Well, who built his birdhouses in my exercise room?
That would be me, but that doesn't change that we're a married couple.
Yes, we are.
And we compromise when we have to.
Yes, we do, but never in bed.
No, we don't.
Over 5 million people have found their own personalized comfort in a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed. You mean mine?
Yes.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a Select Comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Rain won't go away. In St. Augustine, still feeling the effects of Tropical Storm Fay.
I want to stress that Fay has not left Florida, and we have to remain vigilant.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist.
Forecasters tell us Fay will continue to affect North Florida through the weekend, with wind and rain totaling 6 to 10 inches, if not more. I urge you to remain cautious. This is still a very dangerous storm.
7 Florida deaths attributed to Fay. Could the economy get any messier? What's Ben Bernanke think?
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says mix the mortgage mess with higher inflation and you've got a recipe for real economic problems, but the Fed's ready to act as necessary. Julia Lynn Coronado, senior U.S. economist at Barclays Capital Group, says Bernanke's being very cautious.
He's not signaling any change in policy here. I think what he's saying is that the Fed has done what it can and that over time the economy is going to gradually return to better growth numbers.
Bernanke says the current economy is one of the most challenging in memory. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The price of oil dropping a bunch today, more than $5.50 a barrel, but analysts like James Cordier at optionsellers.com think the retreat is short-lived.
We're thinking that crude oil probably bottomed this past week in the 110-111 area. I think supply concerns are going to start rearing their head here in the coming weeks, and I think we're going to rally back into the 120s again.
3 people killed today, a home-built aircraft crashing into a house about a half a mile from the North Las Vegas airport. The pilot and 2 people who were in the home erupted in fire. They're all dead. Unacceptable progress, that's what the National Transportation Safety Board is receiving from the FAA on recommendations made after a 2006 plane crash in Kentucky that killed 49 people. The NTSB says one recommendation involves air traffic control checks, another cross-checks from inside the cockpit. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Been waiting for the best time to buy a Sleep Number bed? The wait is over. Right now, during your Select Comfort Store's biggest sale of the year, you'll save on the entire line of Sleep Number beds. Get instant cash savings or interest-free financing for a full 3 years on approved credit. Now's your chance to enjoy the personalized comfort of a Sleep Number bed and get the best deal of the year. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for the store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bet that counts.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 1996, the U.S. women's gymnastics team delighted the home crowd with athletic feats that turned up gold. You, on the other hand, can barely get out of bed after managing to grind through 5 pull-ups at the gym. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast, just a little further north than usual. I'm in Seattle today at the studios of our affiliate AM 1090, KPTK. Good to have you with us. next hour, our regular election protection issue, but Brad Friedman won't join us because he's on the road to Denver. Instead, we're going to talk with filmmaker David Earnhardt. His movie is Uncounted. And we'll also hear from Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org.
Yeah, I got used. And that's the pain of you. You let me down.
And you can fade the Super Tramp, Nick. Thank you very much. I'm in Seattle. Nick's back at Master Control in the Bay Area. And he has faced all kinds of challenges today and is still holding up. So we want to cheer him on because, Nick, you're essential. We couldn't do this without you. This hour, I want to bring you an update of the case of Sybelle Edmonds. I first started talking with Sybelle in 2004. It's hard to believe that she is still the subject of a bizarre gag order that was originally imposed by Attorney General Ashcroft. And while she has chafed at it and challenged it in some ways, the gag order remains in effect under the murky state secret privilege. It is not a law. It's not in the Constitution. It is a series of court precedents. And I would love to have Sybelle here to speak for herself today. But the issues that we want to talk about related to her work at the FBI as a translator. She was hired just days after 9/11. And she's fluent in the Turkish language and in Farsi, which is the original language of Persia, which is common in Iran. And as Sybelle and her associates have told us in many interviews over the years, she is dying to tell what she knows. She would like to share with the Congress and ultimately the American people some of the dirt that she discovered as she was tasked with translating a backlog of intercept recordings. These are the intercepts that are now legal under the FISA law, and many of them were actually legal in the past because they weren't taps on Americans or wiretaps placed in the United States. And so this hour, two gentlemen will be joining me to talk about the case of Sybelle Edmonds. Before I introduce the first one, I'd like to give you two websites that you should investigate. One is letsybelleedmondsspeak.blogspot.com. I know that's a little long, but it's easy to grab. Let Sybelle, S-I-B-E-L, Edmonds, E-D-M-O-N-D-S, Let Sybelle Edmonds speak.blogspot.com. That is a site operated by Australian journalist Luke Ryland, who will join us later this hour. The other site is operated by Sybelle Edmonds herself, and it's called justacitizen.org. Justacitizen.org. And with that, we turn to Joe Lauria. He is a journalist and a writer. And he recently co-authored a book with my friend Mike Gravel, and he joins us on the program today. Joe, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to talk with you, sir. And to be clear, your work in relation to Sybelle Edmonds has been published, but not in the United States, in the Times of London. Am I right?
That's right, the Sunday Times of London, for whom I have been freelancing as an investigative reporter since 2000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there have been now four different installments of reports about Sybelle Edmonds this year in the Times of London. Is that right?
That's correct, beginning in January.
Right.
We published four stories. One story was related but not directly about Sybelle.
Okay. And at the end of 2007, we joined forces with Brad Friedman from Bradblog and others to circulate a message from Sybelle that she was willing to talk to the American media, that she was willing to defy this gag order that has been imposed on her, and her conditions were minimal. She wanted 15 minutes unedited, and no American news organization, electronic or print, was willing to take on her story. And this remains an embarrassment to me as an American in the media, Joe, because I think it's a very important story, and any journalist worth his or her gumshoe, salt, whatever metaphor you want to use, should be dying to dig into this story and get the truth out.
That has been one of the curious things about this story, why the American press has not picked up on reporting, whereas papers in the Middle East and Turkey, obviously, since it's involved in Iran. In India and Pakistan, it was front page news at the time, and it was left to bloggers here in the U.S. to pick this up and get some interest. And we must say, we don't know, of course, if there has been any attempt by a major American news organization to investigate the story. It's possible they weren't able to get the level of cooperation that they sought, and therefore we've not heard of it. So that is a possibility.
Yeah.
But I know I had an experience where I went to a big American paper that I've worked for 7 years, and I'll name it. It's the Boston Globe. I was a freelance journalist for the UN, so they closed their foreign desk last year from 1999 until last year. And they were not really interested in pursuing the story. One of the problems in the American press is lack of money. There, as you know, the newspaper industry is being decimated, and money for investigations is just not there anymore. They're expensive. It's much cheaper to do celebrity news or to put talking heads on TV to run opinion than it is to do an investigation that this would entail. Now, the Sunday Times, plus there's no competition really in the United States anymore with the conglomeration of media ownership. In the UK, it's quite different, however. There's still an old-fashioned fight between the papers, especially the Sunday papers, to get scoops. So they're willing to pour money into leads that might bring a scoop. And this is why the Sunday Times pursued this story, to get the story. And it's a damn good story, obviously.
And Joe Lauria, tell us why recently the U.S. FBI contacted the editors at the Times of London, which we'll note is owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation, and basically said they want you to lay off this story.
Well, I mean, the guidelines that all FBI agents operate under are they are not allowed to speak to the press. I have many other stories completely unrelated to this one. I had to try to speak to FBI agents, and I've rarely gotten anywhere because they're not allowed to speak to me. We must go through the press office, which is not a lot of help, obviously, in most cases. So in this particular story, I was sent by the Sunday Times to try to speak to agents who knew something about Savelle's story and might be able to corroborate what she was telling us. And I approached several of these agents, and one more than one. So I was breaking their rules, and he didn't break the rules. He didn't corroborate in detail what I needed. We did speak in general terms, but he did not give me any corroboration that I could call confirmation. But I was just told to back off. Sunday Times was told not to. I was probably not going back to see him again anyway. I don't think it's that is in itself confirmation of this story. You know, a non-denial or a lack of confirmation is not a confirmation. Nobody of these agents ever told me Savelle's crazy, get out of here, you don't know what you're talking about, she's a nut, she's a fantasist. They did not say that. And they did not deny what I was saying to them. But they didn't confirm it either. Now, if you are a believer in Savelle, as a lot of the bloggers are, you might see that as a confirmation, but we don't see that as a confirmation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand your standard, and I accept it, and I embrace it. What we're seeing here, though, is, I think, a fascinating effort. And let me ask you next to tell us a little, Joe, about the American-Turkish Council and how it fits in to the information that Savelle Edmonds picked up as she attempted to translate these intercepted communications.
Well, exactly. As you said in your introduction, Savelle made an offer last year to the American press to listen to what she had to say. Nobody came forward. The Sunday Times did come forward, and we began to speak to her in January. And what we're seeing here, what she revealed to us, and these are her claims. Now, we find her credible. That's the reason we published this. We published her claims. We're still trying to go about corroborating those claims. Belief is not enough, obviously, because for those who believe Savelle is enough, but for a skeptical reading audience, we need to have proof. So what she began to tell us is really very much, it looks like, a continuation of what AQ Khan began in the 70s. And where she got this information from is on those tapes, 6 years of tapes from 1995 until at least 2001. And this was mostly traffic that she heard going in and out of the Turkish embassy in Washington. So she would listen to all kinds of tapes. And what you began to see is that the network that AQ Khan had set up from the 70s in Europe, when he began to steal the secrets of nuclear design and parts to make a nuclear enrichment that he stole from Urenco, where he was employed as a translator in Europe, he began to set up a network of suppliers in Europe and even in the United States, it seems, that early on, may have continued all the way through until the 90s and may still be going on now. And even the Carter administration tried to shut it down, but when we needed it, when the Americans needed Pakistan to host Afghan Mujahideen to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan in 1979,
yeah,
they looked the other way. And that continued all the way through the Reagan administration. The Chinese wanted to, the Americans wanted a Westinghouse nuclear power plant deal in China. They looked the other way when China was selling nuclear designs to Pakistan, to Khan. We had a CIA agent, Richard Barlow, who found out that the F-16s Americans wanted to sell to Pakistan could actually be fitted with the nuclear weapons. But the Defense Department that he worked for, and he worked for Dick Cheney, the Defense Secretary at that time, refused to fire the guy because he tried to alert Congress to this. So there's been a pattern of U.S. government protection, it looks like, for various reasons, of this Pakistani nuclear network. Now, Sobel comes on the scene in 95, and she begins to hear these tapes, and what she's hearing is that there's a network set up inside the U.S., run essentially by the ISI, Turkish Pakistan Intelligence,
right,
but they're using Turkish military attachés, as Turkey's not seen to be as suspicious in the U.S., as ISI, she says. They used these Turkish military attachés and connections with high-level American officials to get security clearances for Israeli and Turkish students to get into Los Alamos and other nuclear facilities to get up-to-date new parts and designs from American companies and from those facilities. This was shipped back to Washington, onto the ISI, and into the AQCON network.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so damaging about what she's saying is that she has not named, she's named us off the record. We have not named some government officials who have been involved in this, who are
right,
protecting this ring.
We're going to take a break and return. Joe Lauria, a journalist, is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the case of Sobel Edmonds, who would like to tell us much more if our government would permit it. If you have a question or comment, you can join us. Lines are open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Well, good afternoon and happy Friday. Checking traffic on KRXA. Starting in Watsonville, a problem that's been out there since 1240 this afternoon. The Riverside Drive on-ramp to southbound 1. Truck hauling lettuce flipped over. Crews are still working to right the vehicle and clear lettuce out of the roadway. And they're saying they may not open that ramp until 5:30 this evening. For Paja Road, new crash southbound 1 at Salinas Road. Two-car crash. That's off to the shoulder. Mount Hermon Road at Covenant Lane in Felton. Large piece of metal debris in the lanes. Dover Drive at Soquel Drive in Live Oak. An injury crash there. Just coming in, but no further details. And eastbound 152 near 156, heavy traffic, people heading out to the valley for the weekend. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, with the high cost of gas, it makes more sense than ever to keep your Toyota properly tuned to factory specs by trusting your Toyota to your genuine Toyota service center. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm originating from Seattle today in the studios of KPTK. It's good to have you with us. We continue an update on the case of Sybelle Edmonds. And let's take the music out there, Nick. Thank you. We're talking with journalist Joe Lauria, and as I mentioned, most recently, he co-authored a book with Mike Gravel, who ran for president as a Democratic candidate this year, and it's called A Political Odyssey, The Rise of American Militarism and One Man's Fight to Stop It. And, Joe, we are expecting to talk to Luke Ryland in the next few minutes, but he hasn't joined us yet, so if not, I'd like you to stay on, if you can, past the half hour, so we can continue our conversation here with or without Luke. Now, in regard to the case of Sybelle Edmonds, here's a quote from Sybelle that I found on the web related to her translations and this American-Turkish Council.
Right.
It reads, "This started more than a decade-long illegal covert operation in Central Asia by a small group in the U.S. intent on furthering the oil industry and the military-industrial complex using Turkish operatives, Saudi partners, and Pakistani allies, and furthering this objective in the name of Islam. This is why I've been saying repeatedly that these illegal covert operations by the Turks and certain U.S. persons date back to 1996 and involve terrorist activities, narcotics, weapon smuggling, and money laundering, converging around the same operations involving the same actors. And I want to emphasize that this is illegal because most, if not all, of the funding comes not with congressional approval but from illegal activities." So this is a pretty strong statement from somebody under a gag order.
Oh, no kidding. She's very courageous to speak at all, obviously, to us. About the American Council, I didn't answer your earlier question. That was the place where they met, where the ISA agents and the Turkish operatives and American officials met. It's also where Valerie Plame went, because Valerie Plame, it seems, was running a parallel investigation with the FBI into this very nuclear ring that Sybelle is talking about, and it was shut down, the CIA investigation, by this top-ranking U.S. official, blowing her cover as early as August 2001 by telling a Turkish group that wanted to do business with Brewster Jennings that to stay away from Brewster Jennings, that was actually a CIA front,
mm-hmm.
That they were investigating it. So that was shut down by blowing her cover way before Robert Novak. Then the FBI investigation itself was shut down afterward. Sabell says, because of pressure from the State Department and the Defense Department, where some of these involved officials worked. And we have a case in Britain, the fourth article we wrote about. Peter Griffin is a British businessman who's long been associated with AQ Khan. An investigation into his activities and involvement was suddenly shut down. And the Tinners, or Swiss brothers that were involved with AQ Khan and building parts in Malaysia, the evidence for that, the Swiss president announced, was destroyed in November 2007. There's been a coordinated effort to stop investigations being run by good agents of the CIA, of the FBI, of British Customs, of the Swiss prosecutor's office. As soon as it seems to get too close to official involvement, it gets shut down. And one explanation might be that this was a sting operation and the lower-level FBI agents and prosecutors didn't realize that would expose it. But if that were the case, Peter, I put to you, well, it didn't work very well because it's been going on since at least the mid-90s and probably earlier this, and it didn't stop EQ Khan from selling this stuff on the black market to Iran and Turkey, and Libya, North Korea, etc. Bell is, she went to Grassley, Senator Charles Grassley, and to Henry Waxman, representative out there in California, told them everything she knew back then, even while she was still working at the FBI. Then she was fired shortly after that. Grassley told 60 Minutes in late 2002 that she's absolutely credible. I feel she's credible because people within the FBI have corroborated a lot of her story. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a lot. And that's what we're trying to do now, to get the FBI to corroborate it. I know it's tough because people don't want to lose their jobs. They can go to jail because they want information to speak to us. And a lot of people don't have the courage to build us. But that's what we're trying to do now.
And also, the Inspector General of Justice weighed in, evaluated the claims of Sabell Edmonds, and found them credible. We're going to take a break and return with writer Joe Lauria. And Australian journalist Luke Ryland will join us in the next segment, too. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How many houses? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
How many houses do you and Mrs. McCain have?
I think I'll have my staff get it.
John McCain doesn't know how many houses he owns. That could mean he's married to a rich beer heiress. Imagine the number of decorative beer steins he must own. Obama pounced on McCain.
He couldn't remember. Well, it's seven. Seven houses.
And McCain pounced back at Obama.
One of his biggest fundraisers helped him buy his million-dollar mansion, purchasing part of the property he couldn't afford.
Millions are being spent to convince us that both candidates are rich and out of touch. Hey, guess what? I know that. Candidates are out of touch the moment they get a Secret Service detail. And if they become president, let's see, floodlit white mansion, a valet, a body man, your own cook. They stop traffic as your limousine drives you to your own 747 as your own band plays. The idea that a president can honestly empathize with ordinary people is absurd. A president needs to empathize with the fate of his country. Because this is the guy who'll decide if we really follow through on that Iraq withdrawal timetable. He's the guy who's got to be smart enough to play chess against the Russians. He's got to get Americans fired up about using their own energy instead of sucking it out of other countries. He'll help decide whether a dollar is worth a dollar or some fraction of a euro. We don't need presidents to feel our pain. We've been feeling our own pain just fine, thank you. In fact, we can tell you exactly where it hurts. On a man's body, it's right down here around the pants pocket area. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's Peter B. checking out a slice of Seattle today on the Peter B. Collins Show. During our day-long commercial break, I took a quick spin around the block, four coffee shops, but you can't even buy a bottle of water. We continue our update on the case of Sybelle Edmonds. She was hired as a translator at the FBI just a week after the 9/11 attacks. She was given the job of going through a stack of recordings of intercepts, many that were intercepted in communications to the Turkish embassy in Washington, D.C. She tried to blow the whistle, and her efforts have won her, a lot of legal fees and a gag order from the Justice Department. She is the most gagged person in American history. And we're talking with two journalists. Joe Lowry has been with us since the top of the hour. And we're joined now by Australian reporter Luke Ryland. Luke, good to have you back on the program today.
Good morning, Peter.
Good to talk with you. And I wanted to just reference the websites again for people who may have joined us since I mentioned them earlier in the hour. The website that Luke runs is called letsybelleedmondsspeak.blogspot.com. And Sybelle is S-I-B-E-L, Edmonds, E-D-M-O-N-D-S. letsybelleedmondsspeak.blogspot.com. And her own website is justacitizen.org. That's justacitizen.org. And, Luke, before you joined us, Joe and I were talking, and he gave us some background on the American-Turkish Council and on the charges that are public. The quote from Sybelle that appears on your website, that's where we were when we took a break just a moment ago. And so, Luke, to you a question. Is there anything new since the last time we spoke about the information that suggested that Mark Grossman, who was number two or number three at the State Department, was deeply involved in at least these communications, if not the operations that they related to?
I don't think there's any new news on that. Peter, you've been talking to Joe there. The UK Sunday Times is still pushing to find out more details on the story, so hopefully they'll be able to report more in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, Joe, would you like to add anything related to Mark Grossman or any other individuals who have been named so far?
We haven't named anyone, so I can't comment at all on any names.
Okay. I understand. And we have to work carefully here, and I respect the limits that we face. So, Luke, from your perspective, what has the series and the Times helped people understand related to the information that Sybil Edmonds would like to share with key officials and the American people?
Well, you know, Joe Lauria and the other guys there at the Times, Chris Gurley and John Calvert, have done a fantastic job getting this story out there. The series ran, I think, in January and February of this year, which was, you know, 6 or 7 years after the, you know, after Sybil sort of started reporting on what has happened. So, you know, that story's still a live one, amazingly, after all that time. So, you know, it's great to see that the UK Times is pushing that. And the important thing, I guess, to answer your question, is that the UK Times stories so far have only reported on the nuclear black market element of Sybil's story, primarily. Mm-hmm. There are other issues involved as well. So, you know, hopefully the Times can push the nuclear black market element of the story and get more details on that and further cooperation. And then hopefully either they or other news outlets can pick up some of the other, you know, important items there in the story. You read out that quote from my website, so, and that picks up a few of the other items involving, you know, terrorist activities and narcotics and weapons smuggling, and also the military-industrial complex, which, you know, Joe's book with Mike Revelle, A Political Odyssey, covers a lot of that military-industrial complex stuff very well.
And, Joe, you referenced earlier the Tinners. This is a father and, I think, two sons who are based in Switzerland. And there's been information out there about them, but the American media has been very slow to pick it up. I believe there was one story that referenced them in the New York Times. Joe, take a minute here and describe the Tinners and their connection to AQ Khan's nuclear network.
Well, he met them way back in the early 70s. I think they studied together, a couple of the Tinners and A.Q. Khan. And they stayed in touch throughout all the years that A.Q. Khan was working in Pakistan on developing the Pakistan nuclear weapon. At the end, they were in Malaysia creating parts for a nuclear enrichment. They were selling to Libya for a secret Libyan uranium enrichment facility. When A.Q. Khan was unveiled as the father of the Pakistani bomb put under house arrest by the Pakistanis, there was a move to go after some of the people they knew, and then there was a ship, the BBC China, I believe the name of it was, that was taken by authorities, and on that they found the evidence of the Tinners' alleged involvement. So the Swiss authorities began a prosecution, and that lasted until November of last year. Well, in May 23rd it was, the Swiss president, Pascal Coupechain, made an announcement that the government had destroyed all the files in that case because they didn't want anybody to get their hands on these details. I have to say, by the way, any opinion I give is my own, not the Sunday Times as a freelancer, but I find that hard to believe. As somebody pointed out, they hide everybody's Swiss bank account numbers pretty well. They could hide a couple of CDs with this information on, but by destroying that evidence, that case is effectively over. Now, David Albright, a nuclear expert, a weapons expert, has said, and others, that they were CIA operatives as well. I have no idea yet, if we never know, what exactly their role was with the CIA. Were they spying on AQ Khan's network, or were they helping to facilitate AQ Khan's network? It's just very murky. And one of the reasons it's so murky is because the American corporate media doesn't generally cover this stuff very well, and they create a make-believe kind of view of the world behind which these things take place, these kinds of shadowy activities take place. Very little is ever comes out because the investigations are not done on them.
Mm-hmm. Luke Ryland, would you like to add something related to the Tinners?
Well, I'll pick up on Joe's point that the American media doesn't cover these stories very well. And one thing they're very good at is, hiding the involvement of Turkey in a lot of this activity, whether it's the, you know, heroin. Turkey supplies something like 90% of the heroin into Europe. Turkey's involvement in a lot of this nuclear black market activity is, well documented, but not elsewhere, but not covered at all in the U.S. media. Most Americans haven't heard of the American-Turkish Council either. The Wall Street Journal did a great article just a couple of weeks ago regarding Richard Pearl and his new oil deals in Iraq and Kazakhstan. Now, as you read out in that quote from Sybil, Central Asia and the energy wealth there is, sort of the deep back, background to a lot of the stuff that she's talking about. A lot of the people who are named on her website, the 18 people that she put in her rogues gallery, are all, you know, have a focus on Turkey and Central Asia, mostly to get access to, you know, this energy wealth. And the things like the nuclear black market and the bribery of Congress and these other things, wherever Turkey's involved, just aren't mentioned at all in the US media. And, you know, Richard Pearl and these guys are very good at suppressing a lot of the, any mention of Turkey. How they do it, you know, we're not exactly sure. Joe mentioned the, you know, the complaint that the Sunday Times got from the FBI. One wonders how many of the, you know, US newspapers are getting that same sort of warning to stay away from these stories, whether it's Sabel's case or Turkey in general.
Well, and gentlemen, it's interesting to look at various aspects of the relationship between the United States and Turkey, because on the one hand, Turkey rebuffed our desire to stage troops in Turkey for the purpose of invading Iraq in 2003, and they even passed up $5 or $6 billion that we were offering to grease a decision of that nature. And recently, Turkey has been operating with relative freedom in the northern portions of Iraq, inserting military both by air and by ground, and the U.S. has barely even objected to it or acknowledged it. And so it is a murky relationship, and when you look at many of these things, it's kind of hard to figure out what exactly, you know, who's calling the shots and whether the U.S. Can trust Turkey as an ally to the extent it does. Joe, do you have a comment?
Well, there's the shadow government of the deep shadow government that operates in Turkey, and it's been alleged by Sabel and what she's been telling us and saying elsewhere that the same kind of thing operates in the U.S. I mean, this is the kind of thing we're dealing with here. Dan Ellsberg, with whom I've wrote a foreword to the book I wrote with Gravel, and I've had several conversations with him about Sabel's case because he's close to Sabel, he's put out the idea that maybe the purpose of this ring was to get Turkey a nuclear weapon. They don't have one. The U.S. has had them stationed in acrylic air base, but not Turkish bomb itself. And one reason they might want that is the same reason Kennedy put nuclear weapons in Turkey in the 60s, which led Khrushchev to put them in Cuba against Russia. And that's a whole other show, obviously, about what's going on with Russia and Georgia, Central Asia, and energy, again, as Luke was referring to. So this could be part of what this ring is all about, was to get Turkey the knowledge to build a bomb. We just don't know that. We cannot prove that at all, and that's just a speculation on my part. But the whole U.S.-Turkish relationship obviously has been a big one since the Cold War. They're a member of NATO. It's very, very involved. I can't say more than what I've been reporting about with Sabel and their involvement here in the U.S. They obviously played a big role if what she's telling us is true.
Yeah. Luke, would you like to add something there?
Well, if what Joe is saying is correct, that there's some sort of policy in the U.S. to supply Turkey with nuclear weapons, you know, that's illegal because all of the funds for that, if that's true, the funds for that are coming from places like the heroin trafficking that's coming through Turkey. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a weird relationship between military relationship between Turkey, Israel, and the U.S., and what you see is that a lot of the people who Sabel names in her case, for example, Richard Pearl and Doug Fife and others, are basically running a covert U.S. foreign policy which is not condoned by Congress or the White House, and they have their hand in the till every time every time there's a military sale goes through. That's why Turkey and Israel is getting such enormous grants for military and access to military technology. So when you have all these people with their hands in the till, it distorts the U.S. Foreign policy. And as Joe says, it's basically a deep state in the U.S. where what Sabel calls the hypocrisy-ridden foreign policy exists because the greed of the people involved is channeling military spend and other things into their own pocket.
That's Luke Ryland, Australian journalist. Also with us is Joe Lauria, and as we mentioned, he's a freelancer who writes for the Times of London and has published 4 stories related to the Sabel Edmonds case just over the past 8 months. And, Luke, what is the status of the efforts to permit Sybil Edmonds to testify on Capitol Hill? Have either Waxman or Conyers, chairs respectively of Oversight and Judiciary, made any further efforts to permit her to testify?
Well, the short answer to that is no. But as, you know, Joe's co-author, Mike Gravel, did it with Dan Ellsberg back in the, you know, in the Vietnam War when Gravel read the Pentagon Papers into the congressional record.
Correct.
Any congressman can read anything into the public record on the House floor, anything to do with legislation, without fear of repercussion. That, you know, that's protected speech. So any congressman, and we ask for anyone to stand up and either read the relevant information into the public record, which includes but is not limited to the still classified Inspector General's report from the Department of Justice. So any congressman can either do that, or they can can do hearings. And they don't. Certain congressmen don't need, you know, the approval of Pelosi and all these other guys who are apparently blocking any efforts to bring attention to Sybil's case and bring some accountability and punish these people who have hijacked the U.S. foreign policy.
That's Luke Ryland. We're going to take a break and return with Luke and Joe Lauria, and we'll take more information from them about the case of Sybil Edmonds. The two websites I want to remind you of, justacitizen.com. I said org earlier. It's justacitizen.com and letsybiledmondsspeak.blogspot.com. Check them out. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Tough times for Highway 1 right now. A couple of problems in Pajaro. Southbound 1 at Salinas Road. A truck is broken down. It's got the turn lane blocked. Also southbound 1 Salinas Road, we have a vehicle that went off the roadway, landed in some bushes. The good news, nobody hurt. They do have a tow truck with some cable on the way to pull them out. Santa Cruz southbound 1 after Morrissey Boulevard. Two-car crash, center divide. And this one's been out there since 12:40 this afternoon in Watsonville. Riverside Drive on-ramp to southbound Highway 1. Truck hauling lettuce overturned in the lanes. It looks like cruisers still working to get that uprighted and moved out of the way. Also clearing lettuce out of there. They're saying 5:30. They should have everything open there. Mount Hermon Road at Covenant Lane and Felton. Large piece of metal debris in the lanes. And Espinosa Road at 183. Railroad crossing failure. Crossing arm stuck in the down position. There is no train there. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know if the airbags in that used car you're buying work? Step one to finding out. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade fraps, mochas, lattes, how about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors. Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soup, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart. At Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
Hi, this is Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap, 9 p.m. Saturdays. Chaos is order. You just need to know where to fit in. on the Quantum Leap, Saturdays, 9 p.m., KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, updating you on the case of Sybelle Edmonds, fired from the FBI because, well, she didn't like what she discovered there, and she tried to blow the whistle to her bosses, and she would love to tell America, and especially members of Congress, about this, but a gag order remains in place, and, well, a lot of the leaders that we would expect to show some initiative on this have not stepped forward to do so. So we're trying to share as much information as we can under the circumstances. Luke Ryland, the Australian journalist with us, and Joe Laria, who writes as a freelancer for the Times of London, both have investigated these issues very carefully and come away finding Sybelle Edmonds quite credible. Luke, a quick question. On JusticeCitizen.com, there was a photo gallery. You referred to it earlier as the Rogues Gallery. And I've got the page up right now, but I'm not finding the link.
It should be right there, front and center.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It is. It's right there. State Secret Privilege Gallery. All right.
Right.
I'm sorry. It was right in front of my nose, and I guess my nose is just too big. But it does have photographs of many of the people who cannot be named by Sybelle Edmonds because of the gag order. And I encourage you to go there. I'll just name the ones that I can recognize here. Dennis Hastert, the former Republican speaker. The issue that we've heard about there is that he received large numbers of small dollar contributions that fell just below the legal reporting level from Turkish interests. The late Congressman Tom Lantos from my area of California is photographed here. And let's see who else I find. Richard Pearl. Douglas Feith, and a number of other people who you would recognize from the Bush administration. And Joe, did I cut you off before the break? I thought you had a point to make, but I had to run to a break.
I was going to say, look, Sybelle is a treasure trove of things that she heard on these 6 years' worth of tapes over 6 months. And we're and the press, we are trying to corroborate that. But we see that the majority of the media is not doing its job. And the congressman that you mentioned, Waxley and Grossman, they told Sybelle that if the Democrats took over control of Congress, that they would investigate it. Well, they did, and they haven't. I spent time going into their offices on the phone with their press aides, emails, badgering them back in January when we did this story. They refused to have anything to do with me. They wouldn't speak to me at all. And this is Grassley, who went on the minutes and said that she's totally credible because the FBI corroborated parts of her story to him. So we need the press and the Congress to hold the executive branch in check, and that is not happening on a whole host of things from Iraq all the way down. And here's another case where we need the press to step forward and Congress to do something to look into what Sybelle is saying. She's risking her freedom, maybe her life, by saying these things.
Yeah.
And it behooves the press to look into it for the public interest and for Congress to step up and do its job, and it's very disappointing.
And, Luke, as a non-American, you have the benefit of looking at us from a distance. Tell me what you see at work here, the forces that create a kind of electronic force field around this issue that appears to prevent pretty staunch Democrats like Senator Leahy, chair of the foreign what is he chair of? He's not judiciary. I'm sorry.
I think he's on the Intelligence Committee, right?
Intelligence, right. And so he and Grassley had previously indicated that they believe Sybelle and would like to give her an opportunity to testify. What has prevented this from your point of view?
Well, I think Americans, and Joe covered this in a great interview he did with Scott Horton just last week, the American press is what Joe calls just has a very centrist mindset. They can't conceive that U.S. politicians might be involved in criminal activity. It's just outside the scope of what they can consider, and that's for a whole bunch of reasons. But if we look at Russia or Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan or any third-rate regime in Africa, it's very easy to, look out, from America and say, oh, yeah, they're corrupt and that, there's control of the judiciary and the Congress or the Parliament or whatever. It's very easy to conceive that exist in other countries. But the fact that that also exists in the U.S. is just an anathema to, you know, most of the American public, I believe, and the U.S. press as well, as Joe, you know, very eloquently described.
Peter, I'd like to add that the congressmen like Grassley and Waxman, they know about the 6th Article of the Constitution, which gives them freedom to release classified information on the Senate floor or on the House floor. They can, the only place Mr. Bell could speak without being in danger or at risk, and the FBI agents, is on the House floor or on the Senate floor in testimony. They're not doing it because, as one FBI agent pointed out to me, they've got dirt on just about everyone. So they could have gotten a visit from a higher-level FBI official, who knows, and told, if you do this, you know, we're going to find out things in the paper you don't want. That's just a speculative thing I heard. But there are ways to control congressmen, and don't forget donors, corporate donors as well, obviously. You don't want to lose your campaign checks. I'm not saying that's happened. I'm not impugning Waxman and Grassley, because I don't know why. But we can only speculate. It's just amazing that they have not followed through.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for your own courage and investing the time to investigate this story and try to bring it to light. I think it's a very important one, and I'm at your disposal. The next time you have new information or ways that we can get more information to the American public or ways that we can put pressure on the Congress to finally confront these issues, I would like to assist you with that. And again, I appreciate the work you've been doing. I want to reference the websites one more time. Let Sibel EdmondsSpeak.blogspot.com and JustACitizen.com. We've been talking with Luke Ryland from Australia and Joe Lauria, an independent journalist who writes for the Times of London. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk to you. We're going to take a break and return and talk election protection in the next hour. His Bradness, Brad Friedman, is off as he travels to Denver for the Democratic National Convention. We'll be talking with him next week. And so David Earnhardt, the filmmaker who produced Uncounted, The New Math of American Elections, will be joining us. And also we'll be hearing from Ellen Tyson of Voters Unite. That's all ahead next hour, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
Say one thing for Barack Obama, he can really keep a secret.
Barack Obama says he's made his pick for a running mate, but he's not saying who it is. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds.
The only things we are detecting is that the people who run printing companies, those who print up T-shirts, they seem to be hedging their bets. We've seen T-shirts of Obama Gore, Obama Biden, Obama Bi, Obama Sebelius, and on and on and on.
An announcement is expected tonight or tomorrow. 7 are dead. That's the toll from Tropical Storm Fay in Florida. Governor Charlie Crist.
Damage and loss of life already seen from Fay is a reminder that a tropical storm can be devastating, dangerous, and deadly.
Fay is stalled in northern Florida, where it is expected to drop as much as 10 inches of rain this weekend. Deadly plane crash in Las Vegas today. Homemade rear propeller airplane crashing into a home. The pilot and 2 people inside are killed. North Las Vegas Airport spokesman Randall Walker.
I do not believe, under our circumstance, that experimental aircraft and high-risk aircraft operations such as training and solo flights belong in an urban airport. They belong at a rural airport.
The NTSB says the FAA is dragging its feet implementing recommendations made after a deadly crash in Kentucky 2 years ago. CBS's Sam Litzinger.
The National Transportation Safety Board says the recommendations involve checks to make sure planes are on the correct runway before takeoff. They were made after a 2006 crash in Kentucky that killed 49 people. The NTSB says the Federal Aviation Administration isn't moving fast enough on the recommendations. A Calm Air plane crashed 2 years ago in Lexington after taking off from the wrong runway.
A continuing controversy over age at the Beijing Olympics.
China's female gymnasts haven't exhaled since winning gold. Rumors persist that some team members are under the minimum age of 16. And now the International Olympic Committee has asked gymnastics officials to examine the records of five team members, though it will be tough for either side to eliminate all traces of doubt, says AP sports writer Nancy Armour.
If the government gives you an official document, a passport, a birth certificate, how do you challenge that?
The gymnast's parents certainly aren't happy. They say they're fed up with constant questions about the age of their children and not their achievements. Celia Hatton, CBS News, Beijing.
It's happened for the ninth time this year. FDIC-insured bank failing. Federal regulators shutting down Columbian Bank and Trust in Kansas. Its nine offices will reopen Monday. Branches of Citizens Bank. FDIC says depositors will have full access to their money. Ed McMahon is on the move.
Hi-oh!
Former Tonight Show sidekick reportedly agreeing to a deal with a private buyer for his hilltop home in L.A. No word on who's bailing him out, only that it is not Donald Trump, who recently made an offer to help McMahon avoid foreclosure. The Dow up nearly 197 points today, finishing at 11,627. This is CBS News.
Guys, it's not every day a man can show his true colors, but you can on Friday, August 29th, College Colors Day 2008. That's right, with college football on the way, it's time to get to the men's store inside JCPenney. You'll find your college colors and get a great deal. This week, all authentic NCAA jerseys, tees, and fleece are on sale for 25 to 50% off. So don't miss your chance to show your true colors. College Colors Day, Friday, August 29th. And don't forget that the men's store is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
There's a reason you come to Sherwin-Williams. You just expect more from us. Better paint, better advice, a better way to realize your vision.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, we have exceptional products and unparalleled expertise because painting and decorating is all we do. And now save up to 20% on a wide variety of paints and stains. Stop in. You'll be amazed what happens when you ask. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Shaquille O'Neal knows his way around a basketball court. How well he does in a court of law, it's to be seen.
A Fulton County judge has granted a restraining order against Shaquille O'Neal after reviewing claims by Alexis Miller, an independent music artist here in Atlanta known as Mary Jane. She claims Shaquille O'Neal threatened her with bodily harm, made harassing phone calls to her, and threatened to ruin her career. There has been no comment from the NBA star who lives in Florida. He is scheduled to appear in court September 4th. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Also going to court, Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. His legal team rejecting the offer of a plea deal in the assault case against him. Surprising offer coming this morning from the Michigan Attorney General's office. Resigned by September 3rd in exchange for dismissal of one of the two assault charges. But his attorney says the legal team is preparing for trial. The mayor is accused of shoving a sheriff's detective into another investigator while they tried to serve a subpoena last month. Kwame Kilpatrick is pleading not guilty. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed.
My bed is a Sleep Number bed, too.
It is the same bed.
But we can adjust our side to make it feel like our own.
I wish my living room felt like my own.
See, that's funny. I know the deer head bothers you. But whose exercise bike is in my workshop?
Well, who built his birdhouses in my exercise room?
That would be me, but that doesn't change that we're a married couple.
Yes, we are.
And we compromise when we have to.
Yes, we do, but never in bed.
No, we don't.
Over 5 million people have found their own personalized comfort in a Sleep Number bed. Just lie back and set your sleep number anywhere from 0 to 100. Higher for a firmer feel, lower for softer support. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts.
I love my sleep number bed. You mean mine?
Yes.
Right now, during our biggest sale of the year, every Sleep Number bed is on sale with instant cash savings or interest-free financing for 3 full years on approved credit. Go to sleepnumber.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER for a select comfort store near you. Hurry, sale ends Labor Day.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, nothing about me.
It's Peter B. live from Seattle today, and I just realized I'm locked in a little booth here at KPTK, the progressive talk station in Seattle that carries our program on Saturday and Sunday night, and I don't have access to a network news report or a wire ticker, and it's possible Barack Obama has named his vice president, and I don't even know. So if you've heard, if you've gotten that text message or that email, call into the program as soon as you hear it and let me know at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, every week at this time, we talk about election integrity and election protection. And our elections are a mess. 2000, 2004, I believe, were gamed and stolen. And it doesn't end there. Down there in Pima County, Arizona, they found that a local ballot measure about a transit-related tax was probably flipped. Brad Friedman is on his way to Denver, Colorado, where we will hook up on Monday for our live coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Brad will be one of our contributors. And so he can't join us today. And instead, we invited David Earnhardt to join us. He is the filmmaker who brought us Uncounted, the new math of American elections. David, great to talk with you again.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
And you don't know about the Veep thing, do you?
The last I heard, still no announcement.
Okay.
the supporters are waiting for the text.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, a big softball question to you. What's wrong with having great American corporations count the votes of great American elections?
You know, you've got a really interesting guest coming up on that one in the next half hour, because I'll tell you, Ellen Tyson really nailed it in that report she just did on, you know, corporate vendors undermining our elections. I mean, she just really managed to just frame up how the control of our elections, you know, the terrible control that our election corporate vendors have over election officials and the consequences that has for our democracy. I mean, when you have secret software and when you have, you know, code that the election officials can't even see, then that means the election officials aren't in a position to even run our elections. They're totally thrown over to the vendors. So the vendors end up being the ones who are counting our votes, and I don't feel too comfortable with that. I don't think too many people, when you get down to it, feel very comfortable with people who are more responsible to shareholders than they are to the American people.
Oh, come on. You're just one of those whiny liberals who doesn't like the outcome of the last couple of presidential elections, and so you're blaming it on the refs.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. You know, I think I'm like a lot of people. I don't really care how it comes about. I mean, I think the person who gets the most votes, that is the person who needs to be elected. And, you know, there is so much history in our country of stealing elections. I mean, this has been going on for 230 years. And the last thing we need to be doing is putting in charge of our elections machines that can be easily hacked, that are easy to break into, that you can hack into in under 60 seconds. That's the last thing I want to be putting in the hands of the bad guys. That's just not a good situation.
We're talking with filmmaker David Earnhardt. His documentary, Uncounted, the New Math of American Elections, has been out for a while. We had screenings in the Bay Area and Sacramento earlier this year, and that's when I got to meet David. And David, you have some great news for us, because Uncounted is about to make its debut on cable television.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I mean, because, you know, you're right. We have been, since January, I've been literally on the road with this film on a national tour. I've been to more than, you know, been to 35 cities. And really getting this out, there's been hundreds of house parties and community centers, libraries, schools, that sort of thing. But this Monday, we have our World Television which is a premium channel network. It's going to be this Monday, August 25th, on Stars Edge. That's one of their channels. And then that's at 10:30 Eastern and Pacific time. And then the following Thursday, August 28th, it'll be on Stars Cinema at 10 o'clock. Eastern and Pacific. You know, the thing that's really exciting about this is that this really, after really getting this out, you know, literally city to city, this is an opportunity 2 months before the election to get this word out on a network that has 50 million subscribers. So it really, we're excited about the timing because the network is going to premiere it during convention week, you know, as counter programming, if you will, and then they're going to air it 10 more times during September and early October, hopefully air it right up until the election. So we know this will expose our film to a much wider audience, get this issue in front of many more people before the election. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that because it's just in time.
And I want to recommend to people that you look around your friends, your family, people who you may have talked about election issues with and who shined you on. You said, come on. This gang couldn't shoot straight. How could they fix an election and keep it covered up? I've heard that from people. And I encourage you to get those skeptics and those who have just kind of tossed this issue off to sit down and watch Uncounted, because it's a very well-done film. It's not agitprop. It will help you understand the issues that have led to these handful of companies that have the contracts to control our elections and the election counting, the use of the touchscreen machines that are so vulnerable and highly hackable, and the efforts, for example, the story of Clint Curtis in Florida. And he's up for the primary in a very highly contested race to win the Democratic nomination to face off against Tom Feeney once again. And Feeney is this guy who came as an elected official. He was a major state legislative official in Florida. When he came to the company where Clint was working and said, hey, we're looking for some software that can help us fix elections.
I mean, he was actually Speaker of the House at that time in Florida. At the same time, he was the lobbyist for Yang Enterprises down there. When he came to Clint Curtis testified to this under oath in front of the House Judiciary Committee, signed an affidavit, and asked Curtis to develop software that could flip votes, and Curtis did it. I mean, the thing that's really the real telling thing about this story, besides the fact that a now sitting congressman would even come in and ask for such a thing, the thing that really the telling thing about it is how easy it was for him to develop this software. I mean, it was just, you know, a few lines of code, and it was just very easy. He basically said, you know, I think his words were, any baby programmer could do this. And that's what's scary, is how easy it is to manipulate these machines. Mm-hmm. Now, since that happened, of course, Feeney was elected to Congress. He was reelected again in 2004. He was elected in 2002, reelected in 2004, and in 2006, as you mentioned, Clint Curtis, who was a Republican, changed his party affiliation to Democrat so he could take on Tom Feeney. And he gave him a good run. And in some, you know, there's a good argument to be made that he had a lot of votes stolen for him in that election. He had affidavits showing that he got more voters signing affidavits in some precincts that said they voted for him than he actually got actual votes. And so he's going at him again in 2008. And a lot of people think he has a good shot at it.
Well, and it's troubling because he brought the information you just described, the affidavits about people who voted for him, to the House Administration Committee, which now under Democratic control is charged with investigating any complaints about the elections of members of the House of Representatives. And they did take at least a deeper look at the case of Buchanan and Jennings, Christine Jennings and Vern Buchanan. By the way, Vern's got some FEC problems these days, and you can read about that at the website of CREW, citizensforethics.org.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But what we saw there was in Sarasota, the Buchanan-Jennings race, There were 18,000 votes that just disappeared, and they came from precincts that generally favor Democrats.
That's
and
right.
The House administration did look into that, but didn't take any action to overturn the seating of Buchanan there. And likewise, they weren't even willing to look at the details presented by Clint Curtis there. So that was a very disappointing development in my view.
Yeah, very disappointing, and also, again, emphasis on Democratic Party controlled. I mean, that is where has always been the real frustrating thing about this issue, is to see that the Democratic Party just will not, really, not that much different from the Republican Party, just will not embrace this issue. They are afraid of it as a whole. That's not to say individual people. Individual people out there are doing great work on this issue within the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party as a whole will not come out and take a strong stand on this issue. And, you know, it's really hurting a lot of people. And it's causing the votes to be lost.
Well, and David, we lost a real fighter this week, the sudden death of Congressman Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Cleveland.
Oh, just devastating.
Yeah, she was one of the few who really fought hard on these matters, understood them, was willing to stand up and challenge the certification of the 2004 presidential election from Ohio, and I'm really saddened by her passing, and we're going to miss her on the election protection front.
Absolutely. I mean, she got right out there, took a lot of shots for doing that. You know, pretty much got out there by herself at first, and then Barbara Boxer was along with her, and they challenged the Ohio results, and that took a lot of courage. And she's always been real strong on this issue, and it was just, it's really devastated a lot of us in the movement. And know how important she is, and what a wonderful person she was.
Well, then, David, after the break, in her honor, we'll talk about some of the recent developments about Ohio. IO04, the book by Richard Hayes Phillips, and the lawsuits that their efforts to launch some lawsuits into what happened there in 2004, and it exposes a guy named Mike Connor that we'll talk about in the next segment. If you have a question or comment about election issues, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Filmmaker David Earnhardt will continue with us in a moment, and in the next segment, actually after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Ellen Tyson from Voters Unite. That's all ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years.
and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Checking traffic on KRXA has calmed down quite a bit out there now. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all of a sudden checking in, stalling accident-free. South 101 after Highway 25, this is just south of Gilroy. We did have reports of a piece of debris in the lanes. Watch out there. Highway 152, as you head towards 156, we've had reports of very heavy traffic going eastbound this afternoon, most likely due to people getting out of town, so be prepared for that. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountain, stalling accident-free. Slow traffic, of course, when you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz, and it will stay stop and go on southbound 1 as you head down towards Aptos. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know a new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale in the United States has more than doubled? Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem out there, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm in Seattle today at the studios of KPTK, Progressive Talk here in the Northwest. And you can hear my program Saturday night 7 to 10, Sunday night 9 to midnight. And since you don't get to hear it live here in Seattle, you can always email me with your feedback, pro or con. You can even argue with me by email. The address is peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you're really in disagreement, try full of it at peterbcollins.com. That'll get my attention. Filmmaker David Earnhardt with us. UncountedTheMovie.com is where you can find out information about his documentary film. It pops up on the Starz Premium Channel starting Monday night, the first night of the Democratic Convention, 10:30 Eastern and Pacific. And check your local listings for further showings of Uncounted. David, I wanted to ask you about two recent developments in Ohio. One, the publication of a book by Richard Hayes Phillips called Witness to a Crime. It's a forensic analysis, including right down to individual ballots of what happened in Ohio. And his baseline conclusion is that the official result that showed Bush winning by 118,000 was wrong. And he estimates that John Kerry won Ohio by about 180,000 votes in 2004.
Right. You know, Richard Hayes Phillips is just a remarkably detailed researcher. I mean, he literally has gone through and examined this whole situation ballot by ballot, going into different precincts and, you know, asking, as is his right as a citizen, to examine the ballots, the ones that certainly hadn't been thrown away. And, you know, he has been working on this since, you know, since the 2004 election. You know, Richard Hayes was right there working with Cliff Arnebeck and Jesse Jackson in those days in December of 2004 when there was still a chance that maybe things could be challenged. So he's been on this, and I know he's now touring the country with his book, you know, just getting the word out about what he has learned with that. Doesn't surprise me what he's concluding at all. I'm just glad he's putting some real teeth to it.
And if you want to get a copy of the book, publishers declined, including Kent State University Press, which he had a contract with. When they saw the book, they said, oh, this is too hot to handle.
Yeah.
So the only way to get the book is directly from Richard, and that is from the website witnesstoacrime.com. Again, witnesstoacrime.com. And I recommend it. It's very powerful the way he has gathered and analyzed the information. Now, Arnebeck was on our program a few weeks back, David, and he described the allegations coming from Mike Spoonamore about the role of Michael Connor, who is a Republican IT consultant. Together with his wife, they own multiple consulting firms. Some work on elections, and some do government websites, including the servers and websites, I believe, at the House and Senate in Washington. What do you make of at least the outlines of what's emerging from the case that Arnebeck is trying to build there?
Well, I think what he's really trying is Stephen Spoonamore. I just looked at his interview last night that was done for ABC News. I've always been curious where they got that, how it managed to get out, because this was raw footage of an interview that he did for ABC News. And I want to tell you, it is compelling stuff. I mean, Stephen Spoonamore is looking at it from the standpoint of a CEO of a company that their whole thing is looking into bank fraud. And this is a man that's able to recognize very easily when he sees fraud in our election system. And this guy doesn't mince any words at all. And, I know that when Arnebeck had his press conference, Stephen Spoonamore was one of the principals right there. I don't believe they've gotten Connell to speak out at this point, but I think getting to him to be able to speak out more will be key to that case. But Spoonamore, and he is a Republican, he is a conservative Republican,
right.
He says, as a Republican, this kind of vote stealing, this kind of developing software that clearly is designed, in his words, to steal votes and change election outcomes is not the kind of thing I want to be associated. That's not what republicanism is supposed to be about.
Yeah, and you corrected me, Stephen Spoonamore, not Michael, and it's Connell, not Connor. I didn't have my notes in front of me. I'm working from memory, and the memory's kind of...
I have to tell anybody, it's on YouTube, the whole thing with Stephen Spoonamore. It'll make the hairs on the back of your head stand up. It's just, he is a very direct man. He is speaking from a very strong knowledge base of this is his life work, is to detect fraud. It's interesting how he framed it. He said within the credit card industry, there is, it's kind of a scary thing, 2% of the transactions are fraudulent. And he said, when you see a shift of 1%, that puts you into action to say, there is fraud. We've got to find it. We've got to go after it.
Yeah.
Shifts of 3 or 4% in voting, and it doesn't send off the same signal.
David Earnhardt, UncountedTheMovie.com. He'll stay with us, and Ellen Tyson will join us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Find out what Wall Street isn't telling you, and find out how to safeguard your shrinking dollar and hedge against inflation with gold. Did you know that gold has gained for the past 6 straight years? Get an education now by tuning in to The Gold Show with Jonathan Rose, Monday through Thursday night at 8, or call us at 1-800-510-9594 and rediscover the 21st century gold rush right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
I heard the word faith constantly. I ask my mom one day, what does that word really mean? Here's my mom's entire description of faith to me. Well, it's invisible. It makes you feel warm, and it gives you courage to do things. Vodka. Yeah. Yeah. Once on this family vacation, we're in one hotel room. In the room next to us, there was a couple having really loud sex. My brother and I are freaking out. We're just like, Mom, what? What's going on in there? My mom doesn't know what to say. She panics and just goes, oh, that room, it's haunted. Yeah, that can't mess with me later in life, can it, Mom? Thanks for putting that in your little baby's head. That's great. Now every time I want to haunt my girlfriend, I have to get loaded on faith. Thanks, Mom.
That's comedian Joe Klosik. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, your humble host, originating from Seattle today. And once again, I want to thank the fine folks here at KPTK AM 1090, our affiliate in Seattle, Paul Fredericks and the gang, for setting us up and hosting us today. I came here to Seattle to give a talk this morning to a group of electrical workers, members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And we talked about a wide-ranging set of issues that I believe are important to labor and to working families in this country. And over the course of it, I kind of breezed by election issues, and during the Q&A period, one of the people attending raised his hand and said how important that is. And it really made me feel good, because I had not emphasized it that much in my remarks. I was talking about campaign finance and also about gerrymandering of congressional districts. And so I think that there is an increasing awareness at the citizen level of the issues related to our electoral process, how fundamental it is to a democracy, and how untrustworthy it is in this era of using electronic voting machines and outsourcing control of our elections to corporate interests. David Earnhardt continues with us. He's the filmmaker who brought us Uncounted. And again, his website is uncountedthemovie.com. And we're joined now by Ellen Tyson of Voters Unite. Their website, votersunite.org. Don't go to .com. Votersunite.org. Ellen, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you. I appreciate being asked.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, and I appreciate all the work that you and the fine people at Voters Unite have been doing, John Gideon and the other people who are aligned with your effort. And this week, Voters Unite published a study that you've been working on for some time. Take a minute or two here and tell us what you studied and what your conclusions are.
Well, I've been looking at voting machine issues for about 5 years now, And I keep being startled by news articles of indicating how much the vendors are running the elections, not just selling the equipment, but running the elections, having their fingers into it. So I decided to do a little bit deeper study into it. And I was even startled to discover how much our elections are being run by and are dependent on private corporations. For example, probably one of the worst is Hawaii, which the vendors do everything. They do everything from printing the ballots to programming the ballots. I mean, in addition to supplying the equipment and the secret software, and then they even do the results retrieval and outcome reporting. And that, as private corporations, their main interest is not necessarily the same as the interest of the American people.
Well, and Ellen, we saw, it's interesting, I've learned a lot in the past year just by paying attention. For example, I had never really paid attention to how the delegates are assigned in the Democratic primaries, and I didn't know there were superdelegates, and I've been paying attention for all my life. And we learned through the issues related to the primary, the Democratic primary in New Hampshire, that there is one guy who owns a company. And he is the vendor of voting machines for almost all of New Hampshire and a good part of Massachusetts. And it's just one guy.
Yeah, and they do more than just supply the voting machines as well. They are involved in the ballots and the ballot programming, and it's something that should be handled by the election officials that are selected by the people.
Now, one of the issues that you cite in your report, Ellen Tyson, goes back to San Diego in 2004, where criminal penalties were not imposed when state laws were knowingly violated. Tell us a little bit about that case.
Yeah, that was pretty notorious. Secretary of State Kevin Shelley checked out the software that was installed on all of the Diebold machines in California and discovered that they had without authorization installed uncertified, which means illegal, software on all of them. San Diego I used in particular because they also used the voter activation machines, which were not certified, except that as a last-ditch effort, they were given a one-time-only approval to use them. The ITA said, okay, we have reservations, but go ahead and use them, because the county said we absolutely need them. We absolutely have to. And the election there was a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And if it hadn't been for Bev Harris and Jim March getting together with Alameda County to file a QI-TAM suit, I'm not sure they would have, that Diebold would have been penalized at all. And this is not, this is, voting is such an important thing that when you break the law regarding elections, the penalty should be even stiffer. But it seems like what we're looking at is that the country has become so dependent on the vendors to take care of our elections that we just let it slide.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org. Also with us is David Earnhardt, the filmmaker of Uncounted. And, David, you mentioned you've been to 35 cities with your film. Do you get a kind of different story in every city about the privatizing of elections? And if so, what are some of the common threads, despite all the differences, different companies, different machines or processes?
Well, you know, one of the things that struck me as Ellen was talking is that, you know, I think what happens, and I hear this because I end up meeting election officials will come to our screenings. They sometimes are invited, sometimes they're part of the panel, you know, so on like that. And generally speaking, you know, I think what happens in this situation is that the officials themselves, they have a really hard job, and they've got all these rules and regulations and so on. And basically and this is probably a gross generalization, but generally the officials, and I'm talking about most officials, not the few bad eggs and all that, but they're anal retentive. They really want it to go well. They really are trying to do it right. But it's really a difficult, chaotic situation. There's not many resources put into our election system. You know, it's really not financed the way it should be. And then up comes along all of this electronic voting, and it just kind of makes it easier. It's like it's almost like this codependency. It's like the election officials come in, suddenly there's money on the table. You know, the election officials come in, and they're whining and dining the election officials. I'm talking about the election, the vendors come in, and suddenly there's a lot of money, and there's more money in this area, and there's no recounts. So it's like it cleans it up because it's like there's no, you have the election and there's no ability to go back. And I think it becomes a matter of convenience. That's why so many election officials end up going along, and there's only a few people that really fight it, like Bruce Funk or like Ian Sancho out of Florida, that just really say, you know what, this isn't right. This is not kind of the most. And I thought what I found real inspiring about Ellen's report was just how there are states or how there are precincts that are saying, you know what, we don't have to go with these vendors. We can actually kick them out. You know, we can actually take control of this process. Looks like a lot of that's going into Oklahoma. So that's just, you know, I think that's where the states are going to have to, you know, come to terms, is that this is not the way with these vendors. Turning it over makes it run cleaner, but it doesn't make it run better.
Yeah. You know, in addition to that, David, I think a lot of officials are finding that they're in a position where they have to get electronic equipment that they don't have the expertise to run.
That's right.
And so where do they turn for somebody to help them with that, but the vendor who sold it to them?
That's right, exactly.
By the way, David, congratulations on your wonderful film. How much publicity it's getting. That's just wonderful.
Thank you.
So, Ellen, David referenced that in your report you identified some election officials who are pushing back and who are essentially reasserting their statutory obligation to manage the elections for the citizens of that community and not to sub it out and then just become a passive recipient of the vendor's services.
Yes, and that's very encouraging. And, you know, even though I only have four examples in my four case studies in my report, there are more than that. There are a lot of officials who do take this responsibility very seriously and don't pass as much on to the vendors as other places do. Of course, the most inspiring is Oklahoma, where they are absolutely not dependent on vendors at all. They handle the elections, and they have a whole organized setup of educating the election officials and providing them with support for what they're doing. Oregon I found to be an extremely exciting one. I just found out about it as I was writing the report, and that is that in order to provide what they need for people with disabilities to allow them to vote independently, the state has invented its own method and has it's non-proprietary, it's state-owned, it's state-managed, and so there are no vendors at all involved in that, and they're completely vendor-independent there. And I think that's a lot of what states need to be getting back to is doing it on behalf of, taking care of elections on behalf of the voters, rather than, as David was saying, well, this is a convenient method of doing it. And I think what we're seeing with, I'm sure, maybe you've talked about it on the show, my computer's down, about the Diebold situation that came up yesterday, where Ohio discovered that the Diebold software has a bug in it that miscounts votes that's been there for the last 10 years.
We have not talked about that, Ellen, so go ahead and continue, because I got a call from a listener who wanted more information on that.
Well, it was originally noticed in Butler County, Ohio, in March of this year at the primary, when they uploaded memory cards and then later looked in their database at something else entirely and discovered that some of the memory cards had not been uploaded. The votes had not been counted, even though, according to the way the system operated, everything had gone okay. So a great deal of investigation was done into that. Diebold originally said, oh, yes, that's because the antivirus software on there is incompatible and it causes the sharing violation thing. But Jennifer Bruner, the Secretary of State, bless her heart, did not take the vendor's word for it. See, this is another, going to digress a little bit, but this is another thing that I think is extremely problematic is when problems arise with the vendor's equipment, the vendors are asked to investigate. Well, there's a clear conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But the Secretary of State of Ohio took it upon herself to send her IT people down there, and they did some testing, and they found that the same problem happened with whether the antivirus software was on it or not. So Diebold has now admitted that they have a logic flaw. So this is something that they have said is in all of the versions from 1.20.2 and earlier, which is everything that has been qualified, and I can't say for sure that it's everything that's being used in the United States, but pretty much the Diebold equipment out there discounts votes.
That's Ellen Tyson. You can read her report at votersunite.org. That's votersunite.org. We're going to take a break and continue with Ellen and David Earnhardt, the filmmaker who's responsible for Uncounted. And again, it's going to show up on the Starz Premium Channel starting Monday. Get the details at uncountedthemovie.com. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA has calmed down quite a bit out there now. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas all of a sudden checking in, stalling accident-free. South 101 after Highway 25, this is just south of Gilroy. We did have reports of a piece of debris in the lanes. Watch out there. Highway 152, as you head towards 156, we've had reports of very heavy traffic going eastbound this afternoon, most likely due to people getting out of town, so be prepared for that. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountain, stalling accident-free. Slow traffic, of course, when you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz, and it will stay stop and go on southbound 1 as you head down towards Aptos. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know a new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale in the United States has more than doubled? Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem out there, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight now, but in a few decades, they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages, what can we do? We can join together, because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you, Santana. We're talking about election protection issues with filmmaker David Earnhardt, UncountedTheMovie.com, and Ellen Tyson from VotersUnite.org. And Ellen, I understand you survived an outing with Lou Dobbs the other night.
Yes, that was pretty exciting. They actually came here and did some filming, and then featured this report on the show, which I think is great because I think a lot of people just simply aren't aware of how much the private corporations are involved in our elections.
Yeah, and I'm not Lou's biggest fan, but on election protection issues, he's been one of the best in the corporate media.
Yes, he has. The one thing that I was disappointed about was that he did not mention that there are things that election officials can do, even in November, to monitor the vendors' equipment and the vendors' services more than some of them are now. And that's one of the things I have at the very end of the report are some recommendations for how they can begin to take more charge. They do have the legal authority to observe and oversee whatever the vendors are doing with their equipment and to test the machine.
Well, but that assumes, for example, that an election official didn't used to work for Diebold or ES&S or Sequoia.
Well, yeah, and there is that problem. But most of them didn't. The election officials I've talked to almost invariably really are interested in doing a good job. They really understand the importance of what they're doing and are dedicated to doing it properly. And some of them these days with the electronic equipment are just finding their hands tied.
And David Earnhardt, what do you suggest to our listeners who want, number one, their vote to count, and number two, to make sure that the process works properly? And I've heard suggestions from our friends in Columbus, Bob Fetrakis and Harvey Wasserman, that people volunteer to work at the polls on election day and then also volunteer to monitor the count on election night.
Absolutely, and volunteer to not only monitor but just even be a poll worker, because again, there is so much confusion at the polls at so many precincts, and a lot of that is because there's a shortage of workers. They actually can't even get people, and it can be a very adversarial environment in a lot of places. And if you're a poll worker, you really can be there to sort of represent a voter that's really not being properly taken care of. There's that. You also can have a good close-up view of, you know, democracy in action. I mean, you're right there. You can't look inside the machines. I mean, you can't do that. But you can at least be there and really, you know, try to help the process go as smoothly as possible. And I agree. Monitoring the counting, I mean, Bob, you know, he's right on it. I mean, I think that's very critical.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, do you have any suggestions for proactive steps that we can take to try to improve our odds of a fair election?
Well, I agree with David that observation is very, very important. The more we can observe and not just observe at the election. A friend of mine was telling me recently that she noticed that one of the polling places where in a home
mm-hmm.
for elderly, I'm sorry, has been closed and moved. And all of these people are going to have to be going somewhere else because the polling place is no longer going to be there. I think we need to watch everything. We need to really pay attention to what is going on before the election as well. Make sure that the polling places are not being moved around to where certain people aren't going to be able to even get to the polls or know where they're supposed to vote.
I'd say also, real quick, Peter
sure.
as well, is everybody, and this is really like the building's on fire, you got to do this quickly, is check on your registration.
Yeah.
You know, people are being purged like crazy. I mean, you know, that's all, you know, a frightening report that was by the Advancement Project that estimated that 600,000 voters are subject to purging in Ohio alone due
yeah.
to vague laws and caging practices up there. So, I mean, you may go in to vote and you're not even on the roll, so check on it ahead of time and see why you can still take action and get back on the rolls.
And a lot of the purging is subbed out to outside corporations as well.
That's right.
Ellen, I wanted to ask you, you've got a post up at bradblog.com today about the Election Assistance Commission and their certification process. What's the detail here?
Well, Commissioner Hillman is recommending that they shortcut the certification process because it's taking so long. And the reason it's taking so long is because the equipment is so bad that it's not passing the test. It's not meeting the federal standards. And yet the counties, a lot of them, are now beginning to realize that what they have has problems and they want to, quote, upgrade. And the vendors are saying, oh, what we've got is so good, but the EAC is not certifying it. Well, the EAC is not certifying it because it is not certifiable. And I think this, you know, this Diebold example is a perfect example of what happens when you don't test the equipment properly. So
yeah,
it seems like what she's recommending is that we certify bad equipment to replace bad equipment. And that does not make sense.
Well, Ellen, you know, we've got this Star Wars missile defense system that doesn't work, but we're going to deploy it in Poland and the Czech Republic, and it's got the Russians all worked up, so maybe we need a Star Wars certification program, too. I want to thank you both for joining me here on the program today. Ellen Tyson, again, you can read her report at votersunite.org. That's votersunite.org. Ellen, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
And David Earnhardt, I'm looking forward to wider distribution of Uncounted the Movie on the Stars channel. And people can still order a DVD at your website, uncountedthemovie.com.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Peter.
All right. Thank you, David.
All right.
That's David Earnhardt and Ellen Tyson as we wrap up my broadcast from Seattle, Washington today. Again, my thanks to KPTK, to Paul Fredericks and the team here. And I also want to thank Nick Tanum. Quite a rough, wild ride for him back at Master Control in San Francisco today. But we're still on the air, and most things happen properly. He even had to deal with a famous author who wasn't expecting our call today. So kudos to Nick for really keeping things under control today. And finally, I want to thank Anthony in Carmel Valley and Peter Jardine in San Francisco, the latest to support our trip to Denver on Monday for the Democratic National Convention coverage. You can help, too. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Just click on You Can Help. And if you want to send a check directly, you don't have Internet access, my mailing address is P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. I'll be live from Denver Monday. Catch the live stream at green960.com or catch it on your favorite radio station right here. This is Peter B. Thanks for listening. Hi, it's Peter B., urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code PETERB in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's the best-kept secret in the country right now. Who is Barack Obama selecting as his vice presidential running mate? As the suspense mounts, so does speculation. And yet, Hunter College political science prof Andrew Polsky.
To lead into the convention, it builds some anticipation for the convention. I come from a school of thought that thinks that the person who you choose as the vice president, the vice presidential nominee on the ticket, rarely has a significant impact on the outcome of the election.
The rain.
It keeps falling in Florida
by the bucket.
We've never seen water like that here.
He's in Melbourne. Eric Von Anken is a reporter for WKMG in Orlando.
Houses are ruined. I mean, hundreds of houses. The floor is soaked. The drywall is soaked. So first you got to clean up. You got to dry out. You got to disinfect. Then you got to rebuild. It's going to be a few days at least before the water goes, and then months before life gets back to normal here.
Stalled tropical storm Fay expected to drop another 10 inches or so this weekend. Oil prices dropping more than $6 a barrel today, the biggest one-day percentage plunge in nearly 4 years. Energy consultant Jim Rittersbusch is looking forward to a translation at the pump.
We could see another 20 cents or so peeled off of the national average pump price, and I think that would be a good thing.
National average price of gas right now, $3.69 a gallon. The Russians are going. The Russians are going. At least they say they're leaving the sovereign state of Georgia.
In no uncertain terms, the White House doesn't buy the Kremlin claims that its troops are out of Georgia. Spokesman Gordon Jandro says all Russian forces have to be back to where they were before August 6th.
It's not only what we expect. That's what the French expect. That's what the European Union expects. Frankly, it sounds like it's just about what the whole world expects.
Some Russian troops can remain in South Ossetia, but Chandro says none can be in the rest of Georgia. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Crawford, Texas.
It's one thing to die at home and no one notices for a while. It's another when it happens in a hospital.
Stephen Sabak died after choking on medication at a North Carolina mental hospital. He sat in a chair, ignored for nearly 24 hours by workers who watched television, played cards, and danced.
They will be removed from the direct care duties and given other assignments for at least...